You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Jenny, why don't you come up? Shall we just pray for Jenny as she speaks? Lord, we thank you for this amazing woman of God. We thank you for the message you've put on her heart. Lord, may that message bear fruit in us this day. Amen.
Thanks. Thanks, Ben. Hi, everyone. If we've not met before, my name's Jenny, and it's really lovely to be speaking to you today. And it's a particular privilege to be speaking about this psalm. I mean, it's just beautiful, isn't it? It's lovely. It's poetry, this psalm. It's probably one of the most famous and the most powerful psalms in the whole Bible. It's one of my favorites. I'm sure it's a favorite for lots of us. So no pressure talking about it today. It's one of those passages where I feel like the words of the psalm just really speak for themselves. I feel like we could, instead of doing a talk, we could just read this 30 times over and go home. But we're going to have a punt at digging in to some of the themes of it. So this psalm was written by David, like lots of the psalms are. So David started life as a shepherd boy, a really poor person, and then he went on to become the king of Israel. And this is all around 1000 BC. And at the heart of this psalm, I think it's really about two kind of key facts that are pretty key to our faith as Christians. Number one, God knows us. And number two, God loves us. You have searched me, God, and you know me. This is one of those verses that gets quoted a lot. We've heard it before. And we kind of get it, like, sure, logically. If God is creator, if he's omnipresent, if he's all-seeing, then kind of it follows, of course, he knows who we are. But what does it really mean to actually know somebody? I started thinking about all of the different ways that different people in our lives might know us. There's probably a lot of people who know you kind of quite superficially. So they might know our name, they might know our occupation, they might know simple facts about our family or about our hobbies. Then when somebody gets to know us a little bit better, they might start finding out kind of the next level about us, so our opinions, how we might feel about our occupation, how we might feel about our family, that kind of thing. And then when somebody gets to know us on a really kind of deeper level, so thinking about kind of our close friends, our really close family, they might they start to learn core things about us. So they might get to know things like our hopes, our fears, our vulnerabilities, our dreams, what really gives our life meaning. And I kind of started thinking about the different ways that people know us, because I was originally planning to kind of use some examples from our human relationships to illustrate the different ways God knows us. But actually, the more I started thinking about it, the way that God knows us, according to this Psalm 139, this just smashes way, way past the way that any person might know us. So let's look at some of the different ways God knows us from this psalm. So, firstly, our bodies. He created our bodies. He knows them. Verse 13, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. He knows our bodies in the utmost detail. In Matthew 10, it tells us that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows absolutely everything about our bodies because he created them. He knows our inner world. He knows what we're thinking. In verse 2, it says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Nothing we can think goes unnoticed by God. Can we get the next slide, Sam? Our actions, thirdly. So he knows our actions. He knows our daily routines. He knows our patterns. He knows our habits. He knows what we do with our day. That one. In verse 2, it says, you know when I sit, you know when I rise, you're familiar with all our ways. You know everything that I'm doing with my day to day. And God cares about it as well. He cares about what we're doing with our days. Number 4, our place in the world. God knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. He knows where we are. He's always with us. In verse 8, it says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And then our life's plan. God knows the trajectory of our lives. He knows where we fit into his bigger picture for the world. In verse 16, it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before any of them came to be. He knows us far more deeply than we can even know ourselves or are able to articulate. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. God knows what you have been. He knows what you are, and he knows what you will become. He knows your design, he knows your purpose, he knows your qualities, he knows your flaws. He knows what's happening in your life. He knows how you'll feel about it. He knows how you'll respond to it because he created your brain. He knows how your particular brain functions. He knows what might irritate you. He knows what you'll find funny. He knows what will make you cry. He knows what will bring you joy. You've searched me, God, and you know me. God knows us so, so intimately, so, so deeply, way past how we can ever know another person or any person can ever know us. So the second key fact that we see in this psalm about God loves us. Being known by itself isn't enough. Being known is something we want as humans. We want other people to know us. We're kind of wired for this connection. But being known, just being known, isn't sufficient. What we're all really longing for is to be known and to be accepted and to be loved for who we truly are. If you just think about your favorite songs, films, or books, this theme is all over the place. This is one of those kind of shared human things that we all feel. We all want to be known and we all want to be loved for it. Now you can show Billy Joel. There he is. just think of some of your favourite songs. I don't know if this is your favourite song. It might be for some people. Billy Joel, don't go changing to try and please me. I love you just the way you are. You're enough, he's saying. Just as you are, you're enough. I love you anyway. We see it in films as well. So one example that I thought of is in Good Will Hunting. So you've got Robin Williams helping Matt Damon to understand that in order to fully commit to love, he's got to open up. He's got to be vulnerable about all the parts of himself. Only then can he be known, can he give love, and can he receive love. But then I was thinking of an intellectual example from literature, landed on Bridget Jones, everyone's favourite rom-com. So in Bridget Jones, Bridget spends a lot of time trying to be who she thinks other people want her to be. But right at the end of the book and the film, you see the bit where Colin Firth reads her diary and he sees her true self and he accepts her. He loves her for it. He says, just exactly how you are, I love you. I love that part of you. I love that version of you. What we really want is not just to be known, but to be loved. And this is what we get from God. Because God knows us more deeply and more intimately than anyone else ever can, there's no risk that the love he has for us is just based on the version of ourselves that we present to the outside world. There's no risk that he loves us just because we're a nice person, or because we try really hard, or because we do good things. God knows everything about us. He knows our failings, he knows our flaws, and he loves us regardless. His love is a gift that's given freely, and it's given to the person that we are deep, deep down, our truest self, not about kind of what we project outwards. And there's nothing in that truest self of ours that will ever give God pause or ever make him stop loving us. You get it here in verse 5 in this psalm. It says, God's love hems me in behind and before. There's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing we can ever do that will stop him loving us. It says, will God be there if we go up to the heavens? Yeah, he'll be there. Will he be there if we go to the depths of the sea? Yeah, he'll be there too. Will he be there when we're smashing it, when we're feeling great, when everything's going brilliant in our lives? Yeah, he'll be there. Will he be there when we're struggling with failure, with guilt, with grief? Yeah, he'll be there. I've been thinking a lot about this idea of being kind of hemmed in behind and before as I've been looking at this talk, and how the knowledge of someone and the love for someone work together. And one image just kind of kept coming back to me that I thought I'd share with you. So I've just come back from a holiday in Scotland with my family. And one day we went on a day trip to this absolutely beautiful lighthouse right up on the cliffs. If you've got a picture, Sam, that would be wicked. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's lovely there. It's kind of a lighthouse right on the top of this cliff at the edge of the sea. There you go. It's gorgeous. The sea was sparkling. The sky was blue. Someone told us a rumor we might see dolphins. I obviously wasn't paying attention to any of that at all because I was way too anxious about my excitable three-year-old chucking herself off the edge of the cliff. And can we get the next picture, Sam? I wasn't the only one who was worried about her. My parents were there, my brother, my husband, all of us were staying really close to her. So you can see in this picture, there's me and Bruno behind, you've got my mum and dad to the side, and that's my brother at the front. We know this child. We know this child loves to run. Give her an open space, she'll just be straight off. We know she loves dolphins, she's excited about seeing them. We know that she famously has zero regard for her own personal safety. And we also had knowledge of the context that she didn't understand. Like, we knew about the risks in this environment that she didn't quite get. She's too little. And as well as having all of this knowledge about her, we love her. She and her brother, they're our family's most precious thing. Because we know her, because we love her, we were surrounding her. We were gently protecting her, guiding her along the path. We were hemming her in, really, behind and before. And I think this image has just kept coming back to me. I think it's really similar to how God's knowledge of us, that intimate knowledge he has about each of us as individuals, and his great love for us work together. We're fully known, we're fully accepted, and we're fully loved in every single state, in every situation, in every mood we're in. God knows our pasts, he knows our present, he knows our futures, and he hems us in behind and before with his great love. So, if we can in any way wrap our heads around the depths of God's knowledge about us and his love for us, how does this truth shape our day-to-day lives? I thought we'd just finish with a couple of ideas about what this might mean for us. So, first, I think God's deep knowledge of us is an invitation to be completely honest with him. David prays this in verse 23. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." God already knows everything that we feel. He knows our joys. He knows our anxieties. He knows what keeps us up at night. We can bring our real selves to God. We don't have to put on a front or kind of second guess how he might be feeling. And David kind of role models this for us through some of the Psalms. He's a master of the brutally honest prayer. In Psalm 13, he really challenges God. He says, "How long, God, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" I mean, this is challenging. It's kind of a bit rude, really, to God. But it's honest. It's honest and it's authentic. God already knows our thoughts. He already knows our moods, our feelings. He knows if we're feeling happy with him. He knows if we're feeling angry with him. He knows our questions. He knows our struggles. And because of what we learn about how he loves us in this psalm, we know that we can feel totally safe in the promise of his love. He's not going to get cross if we bring this stuff to him. He already knows what we're thinking. So we may as well be fully authentic with him when we pray. Secondly, kind of what we can apply to our day-to-day lives from this psalm. I think God's deep knowledge of us and that grace that he offers to us allows us the freedom to give grace to ourselves and grace to others when we fall short. We don't need to seek perfection in ourselves, and we certainly don't need to ask for it in other people. Mulling on the fact that each person is created uniquely by God's design, created just how he wants them, can change our attitude to how we deal with our own mistakes, giving ourselves grace, giving ourselves a break, and also how we interact with others and offering that same grace to them. And then finally, God's deep knowledge about us should give us the confidence when we're seeking his purpose for us. We've kind of talked a lot about how God loves us despite our flaws. I think that's something we can kind of fixate on. It's great. We're all flawed. God loves us anyway. But what about the rest of you? What about all of the wonderful parts of you that have been handcrafted by the one who made the universe? We kind of say it ourselves when we pray this psalm. We say, "Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Well, God's wonderful works of creation include me. They include you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, uniquely, specifically. You're precious to God, and he made you with a purpose and a plan for your life. And I think this should be really encouraging to us as we kind of seek God's purpose for us and seek his will for our lives. As we lean into the skills and the characteristics that he's given us, he's given them to us on purpose. They're for a reason, and God wants us to use them in exciting ways. How God designed us is just how he wants us. He knows us better than anybody else ever can, and he loves us without question. He says to us, "You are enough, my son or daughter. You're enough just as you are. I've made you just how I want you, and I love you for that." He's been there in our pasts. He's with us in the present, and he goes before us into our futures, hemming us in behind and before, all around us, with his hand on us. His knowledge of us and his love for us is complete. It's constant, and it's unconditional. So just as we finish, I'd love if we could stand and let's pray together. And let's pray. You have searched me, God, and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. God, you know everything about us. You know our actions, you know our thoughts, you know our bodies, you know our successes, you know our failures, and you promise to love us through it all. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God, you designed us and made us just how you want us. Give us the confidence to live with the knowledge that we've been designed with intention and that we are enough. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. God, you know our past, you know our present, you know our future. You enclose us and you cover us with your love. And God, we just ask that you let these truths sink in a new way this morning.
Let's just be still for a moment and allow exactly that, these truths to sink into our hearts.